I hope, can all of you hear me? Can all hear me? Okay. I have to tell you a little story before I begin preaching. I told you the story last night. I was in Danville with my father-in-law all probably 10 years ago. We was to see a doctor. And a lady said to me, I was talking to a lady because sometimes I talk. And I said to the lady said to me, where are you from? I said, Butler. She said, oh. She said, you probably know our pastor. I said, well, what's his name? She said, Patrick Bailey. I said, yes, my wife had him in first grade. And that entered the corner. That's how long we've been here. That's how long we've been a part of the valley. That's how long we've been involved in so many things. And it's always good to come here and stand in place of Patrick Bailey. Patrick Bailey is the spiritual leader of the valley. And I support him 1,000% in everything that he does because he's a man of God. And I hope he's taken a vacation and he's relaxed and he's not worried about anything. And that's a stupid statement to make because I know he is. But we need to pray for him as he prepares to come home and be again the pastor here in our community. I want to share something with you. I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of things happen. My wife will say, I don't know why you did it again, but I'll tell you, in 2 weeks I'll be 83 years old. So I've been here a long time. I remember seeing so many of you when we was at North Liberty. I see Tyler Doubt back there now. Tyler used to sit like this. I can say that now, Tyler. You won't get mad. But I have so many memories when I see all of you. But I want you to listen this morning to me for just a few moments because Ken Kinley's concerned about our nation and about the world we live in. Because I think some things are happening that all of us need to be concerned about. Number one, if you're a Christian, you're not liked. You're the bad person. Because we want to tell people how they need to live in a moral situation, and they don't want to hear that. And so instead of being the majority that we once was, we're the minority. And I want to read something. I want to tell you a story from the Bible, and then I want you to think with me on some things that we all need to look at. In John, the 18th chapter and the 28th verse, if you have your Bible, open that up, and we're going to read this together. Now, I'm taking you back to Thursday before the crucifixion. I'm taking you back there. And as we go back there, this is what we find. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium. And it was early morning, but they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but they that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, what accusations do you bring against this man? Pontius Pilate did not want Christ crucified. He could not find a reason to crucify Jesus Christ. And he asked them, well, what accusations do you have against him? And what are you saying about him? Then they answered and said to him, if he were not an evildoer, we would have delivered him. We would not have delivered him up to you. Then Pilate said to them, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. You do it. Now, this is the first part of what I want to say. Pontius Pilate had the opportunity of letting Jesus go. But politics entered in. You see, Pontius Pilate was the tetrarch of that country. And the Jews, the religious leaders, had come to Pontius Pilate and said, listen, we want you to crucify this evildoer, Jesus. He's a problem to us. He's a radical. He's tearing up our religion. He's telling people things are different. He's saying he's the Son of God. Oh, that's ridiculous. And if you don't crucify him, we're going to go to Caesar Augustus in Rome, and you lose your job. I wonder how many people today fail to make a commitment to Christ because they're afraid they'll lose what they might have. I wonder how many people there are like that, that are afraid to stand up for Jesus Christ when the time comes because they're afraid they'll lose their position or their status or whatever it might be. There's many of them out there. And we have to be very careful when we're with people that are not like us, when they talk about Christ, that we stand up and say, we're Christians. We may offend you, but you offend us because you're not a Christian. And so Pontius Pilate went back to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, then Pilate said to them, you take him. And then saying, okay. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, I'm a Jew. Your own nation and the chief priest have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you the king then? And Jesus answered, you said rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of truth hears my voice. And Pilate, in disgust, turned around and said, what's truth? What is truth? You tell me you're God, they tell me you're a devil. What is truth? And when I thought about that, I thought about today. What is truth today? What is truth? And I'm talking about from the Bible perspective. And I want to share with you some things that have happened that have taken us away from the nation we need to be, a godly nation. And the first thing I want to tell you is Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have churches today that are not preaching that anymore. That Jesus is just a good man who came along and was a good teacher. We have a church in our local area that believes that Christ is a good teacher, but he's not a savior. And the truth about it is, according to the Bible, Jesus is the Son of God, and he died on the cross that through him you and I could have eternal life. Now, Pastor Ken, oh my goodness. Oh, I was born a Methodist. You was? Oh, Pastor Ken, you know, I was born Baptist. Well, bless your heart. Well, Pastor Ken, I was born a Catholic. Well, bless your heart. You got to be born again. You got to be born again. I don't care where you go to church. If you're in church here this morning, and whoever you are, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you have to be born again. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, not whosoever attends church, not whosoever is the best person in the community, not whosoever does all the good things, the person who believes, that person enters the kingdom of heaven and becomes part of the family of God. And that's the truth. And we have a nation now that's saying that that's not the truth, that that's not important, that being a part of the church and not knowing about Christ is fine, and it's not fine. I talk to families every day whose children have not yet to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior, or they themselves haven't accepted Christ, and they take it nonchalantly. I think, and this statistic may not be right, but I think for the most part it is. In our today, in our society, there are more young people committing suicide. And we ask why. It might be that they haven't been introduced to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the truth is, whether you want to believe it or whether you don't want to believe it, you must be born again. You must be washed in the blood. You must accept Jesus Christ. And if you don't do that, you do not enter the kingdom of heaven when that time comes. I have a father who loves me. This is Father's Day. When I was growing up, I didn't have a father who loved me. I had a father who left me. But I now have a father who loves me. And if I die today, you know where Ken Kinley's going? I'm going up. Baby, I'm going up, baby. I'm going up. Because I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And if I could tell anyone anything in any community, I would say, before you do anything else, make sure that your household knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the truth. So what the world might be telling you is not the truth. What the truth is that God, through Jesus Christ, provided us a Savior, that through that Savior, we could have eternal life. Now let's talk about another truth. If you go back to Genesis. The Bible says that God, and I want you to listen to this very carefully, and now when you go home, I want you to look in a mirror. God said to Jesus and the Holy Spirit in Genesis, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. And so everyone that God's created, and God's created everyone, God created them as the image of God. And when you go home and look in the mirror at yourself, you are, in a sense, the image of God. And the most important thing that God wants you and I to do is to seek Him first and have Him first in our life. I wasn't created out of a big boom. Now, I got to be a big boom, but I wasn't created out of a big boom. God created me. And He breathed the breath of life in me and made me a living soul. And for people to tell you that, well, we just ended up here somewhere. The truth about it is God created us. And we're the image of God. Our children are the image of God. I don't know, I'm sure a lot of you have. That first baby that was born. And you held that baby in your arms. You can't tell me you don't see God in your children. And God created us. And we need to keep that in mind, and that we have a responsibility to God as human beings. And furthermore, and I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to offend anyone. Furthermore, God created male and female. God didn't create transgender and homosexual. He created male and female. And the Bible says that He wants them to come together and provide more creations through the way He's given the opportunity to make creations. And we've allowed ourselves. Listen, I got to tell you this. It irritates me. My wife says, don't turn the television on. Don't turn it on, because after you watch it, you go on yiping to me the rest of the day. The other day, the state of New York is getting ready to pass a bill that when your baby is born, you don't have to identify them. They may not be a male or female. and you can wait till later on and you can identify them when you decide what they are. Where in the world did that come from? Where in the world did that come from? The Bible created male and female, and He wants us to come together and be joined together. Listen, my heart breaks when I see other people doing. I have my firstborn granddaughter that I love dearly, has three children, and now she's a lesbian. It breaks my heart. I love her. But somehow she's got confused in all of this, and she looks at things altogether differently, and she's raising three children to believe that that's okay. And it's not okay. It's not okay to be like that. And yet we go on and we say, okay, we need to love those people. We need to invite them to church. We need to put your arms around them. We need to tell them we love them, but we need to let them know that that's not what God wants. Do I hear an amen on that?
Amen.
That's right. And so that's another thing that we need to know the truth about. We've been led to believe that it's okay to be that way. And it's not. It's a sin. If you go back and study Sodom and Gomorrah, go back to Genesis, and you study Sodom and Gomorrah, and if you read that, you find out that God destroyed that world, that nation, and He did that because men were having relationships with men, and women were having relationships with women, and it was wrong, and He destroyed them. And sometimes we get the idea that because we're America, that God's going to take care of us all the time. But if you study the Bible, you find that God in many instances took another nation to destroy the people of Israel, to wake them up to the reality of what they're doing. And if you and I think that don't ever come a time that God won't punish us, we're kidding ourselves. Because we'll have to suffer the consequences of those things that we have done. We need to know the truth. And the truth is in the Bible. And the Bible is God's Word. And Jesus said that we need to look at the Bible and study it and apply it to our lives and make it part of all that we do. Some of you younger people who have kids in school, I want to ask you a question. My wife taught for 35 years. 35 years she was in first grade and couldn't get to second. Huh? You believe that? But boy, she learned a lot. But seriously, if she would have been in a class and she would have not been teaching the children what they needed to know, that parent would have been in the school to the principal and said, we want something done with Mrs. Kinley. And the same parents today will say, you don't need to go to church. You don't need to go to Sunday school. You just do what you want to do, son. And the most important thing that they have to accept is Jesus Christ so that they'll enter the kingdom of heaven. Some of you have been where I have done funerals. And I've made this statement over and over again. All of you, I'm sure where you work at, when you went to work there, you said, what plan do I have? You know, am I going to get retirement? Am I going to have hospitalization? And you wanted all of those things. You wanted those, didn't you? You wanted a plan. And the same people neglect the plan of God, which is accepting Jesus Christ, being born again, so they can enter the kingdom of heaven. Think about it. Because our world is living in a time when truth is not truth any longer. Another thing that I want to talk to you about, that we no longer preach in our churches, is sin. Nobody sins. You just do what you're doing and it's okay. You can do whatever you want to do. You know, in school they're saying now, we want everybody to think they're doing good, so we're gonna let everybody just do what they want to do. When the fact of the matter is, there is sin. There is a way of being lost from God. I grew up, and I think you probably heard of this place. It's called Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I grew up there, and I lived on the streets. My dad had left my mother. My mother had to go to work. It was the Second World War. And I just did basically what I wanted to do to survive. And I thought that a Christian, I thought if you was in America, you was a Christian. I thought all Americans were Christians. I didn't know. I never went to church. Never went to church. When I was 12, though, I joined a Methodist church because they had a gymnasium and we could play basketball. But I never accepted Christ. And I went away into the service, and I was in the service for a long time, did a tour of duty in North Africa, come back from North Africa. I hadn't taken a sober breath in 3 months. Went down to Fort Walton Beach, Florida, was in my house. A man rapped at the door one day, and I said, "Yes, can I help you?" He said, "Yeah, I want to tell you about Jesus." "So you want to tell me about who?" I said, "The only Jesus I ever heard about was on the street corners." He said, "I want to tell you about Jesus Christ who died for your sins." And he talked to me about Christ, and he prayed for me. And over a period of time, I come to accept Christ as my personal Savior. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. I walked down the aisle in Pensacola, Florida, and accepted Christ as my personal Savior, and it changed my life completely. Was I not a sinner any longer? No. But I had a Father through Jesus Christ that would forgive me of my sins. And He changed my life. And Christ will truly change your life. If you're living today where you haven't given your life to Christ, where you don't believe that Jesus can forgive you of your sins, I talk to people every day that say, "Oh, Ken, I am so bad, God would never forgive me." That's why Christ went to the cross. So that regardless of what we've done, God will forgive us through Jesus Christ. There's nothing that we have done that God won't forgive us of if we come to Him in full repentance and ask for His forgiveness. And we have people out there in our world today that are living bad lives, miserable lives, because they don't think that anyone can help them to be right again. And God loves everybody. Jeff, sometimes I don't love everybody. You know that? But God loves everybody. And the fact of the matter is that we need to let people know that God loves them. That's another truth that we've lost. And we need to be reminded of that, is that when we have sin, when there's sin in our lives, we need to come to God. And then one more thing. And this is going to touch some toes, and it's going to touch my own. Sunday is the Sabbath. Sunday is the Sabbath. We have a lot of people that they go to church if it's in their schedule. It used to be years ago that you went to church on Sunday. But now you go to church on Sunday if there's nothing else happening. If the youth people over here are not having soccer games, if something else isn't being done on Sunday, then we go to church. We need to be in church. We need to be in Sunday school. Let me give you an example. I tell you, Jeff, Jeff, I'm going to go and I'm going to be a nurse. You say, "Okay, Ken, that's good. Okay, so every day you see me still down at the Wiffle Tree drinking coffee, and I haven't gone to church, gone to school. And you finally say to me, I thought you were going to go to school. Well, I'm going to be a nurse. Well, you haven't done anything to do that. And I talk to the same people who tell me they're Christians, and they never go where people are learning about God. They don't ever go to church. They don't go to ever go to Sunday school. They don't do any of that. And they tell me they're still going, and they may be. They may still be going to heaven. But if I'm going to make my commitment to something, then I'm going to go there and learn all I can about it. Your children, we as adults, we need to be back in Sunday school and church, and we need to know what God wants us to do. When God created you and me, He created us for a purpose. You have to find that purpose. And you can't find that purpose unless you go with people to a place where the Bible's taught and where you can hear about Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit can speak to you. These are truths. And Pontius Pilate said, well, what is truth? And Jesus said, the truth is, I am the Savior. And I have to go to the cross. That through that experience, men and women, boys and girls can come to know Jesus and be saved from the sin of their lives so they can enter the kingdom of heaven. It's my prayer that every person I know comes to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Because I want everybody to be in heaven with me. I don't want to see anyone die and go to hell. Oh, you believe in hell? Well, that's another thing that they've got away from. There's no hell. That's all garbage. There is a hell. There is a place that's separated from God. And we have never been separated from God. Even if we're not Christians, we've not been separated. But there'll come a day when people are separated from God, and it will be a hell. And yet I've heard preachers preach, there's no hell. You know, it's all imagination. It's not imagination. It's the truth, because it's in God's Word. So, I ask you, as I ask myself, what are we doing to make the world a better place to live? What are we professing to be? The truth of it is we have to go back to the Bible and see what the Bible has told us. Take that and apply it to our lives and become the people that God wants us to be. And I pray for that every day. And many of you know me, and you're probably saying, you know, what do you mean? This guy's messed up. Yes, I have. However, through Jesus Christ, He's forgiven me. I would not stand here and tell you that I was the perfect person, because Mrs. Kinley would be up in a minute and say, hold it, we got to stop, because this fellow just told a lie. But when we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He's there to save us from our sins. May God bless you. And may each one of you that are fathers have a fantastic Father's Day. I was able to reunite with my father years later, and we became good friends. And he came to know Christ. He made some bad mistakes, and he knew it. He remarried again, had two daughters. He has two beautiful daughters. They're my half-sisters, and he turned out to be a great father. And he said to me one time, Ken, I'm sorry that I wasn't the father that I should be. Will you forgive me? And I said, absolutely, I'll forgive you, because we've all fell short from time to time. But I have a Father in heaven who loves me and who is there for me today. And as I celebrate Father's Day, I celebrate my Father in heaven, who said, Ken, I love you so much that I'm going to send Christ into the world, that through him you can have eternal life. What a gift. May God bless each one of you. May you have a great Father's Day. Thank you for allowing me to come today and be a part of the service. And may God bless each one of you as we go our way. Shall we pray? Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will truly speak to us. These are serious, serious things that we need to be thinking about. We need to know the truth. And the truth is that God loves us and sent his Son into the world for us, that through him we could have eternal life, and that every human being needs to hear that and know that and have the opportunity to accept that. I pray for this church. I pray for its people. I pray for Patrick and their family as they return from their vacation. Continue to lay your hands upon Patrick and make him the spiritual leader that we all know he is. And thank you, God, for this time together. And I pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And thank you again.